ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ಧನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೆ ವಂಶಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸರಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಮೌನಂ ಶೈವಾಸ್ಮಿ ಭೂಯಾನಂ ಜ್ಞಾನ ಜ್ಞಾನವರ್ಥಾಂ ಅಹಂ. ಅಮಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಪ್ರೆಸಿಂಗ್ ಲಾಲೆಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಪನಿಷ್ಮೆಂಟ್, ಆಫ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ಸೀಕ್ ವಿಕ್ಟರಿ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಮೊರಾಲಿಟಿ, ಆಫ್ ಸೀಕ್ರೆಟ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಸೈಲೆನ್ಸ್, ಆನ್ ದ ವೈಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ದ ವಿಸ್ಡಮ್. ಸೊ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಫ್ಯೂ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಸೇಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್, ಫೋರ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ: ಪನಿಷ್ಮೆಂಟ್, ಮೊರಾಲಿಟಿ, silence and wisdom. These four things, it's a very big topic actually in Krishna consciousness. I shall try and say a few words. As Prabhupada and Krishna said, if there's no law, there's lawlessness, what will happen? The whole country will go into chaos. So there must be somebody who can administer the law, right? Like policemen and the court judges and all that. These people, they are in charge of implementing law. By implementing law, they ensure that everybody toes the line and follows that. You can live in the country. Suppose you go to a country where there is no law, like now in Zimbabwe, everybody is fighting killing each other, in Afghanistan, you know, all these places there's no law, nobody, everybody thinks is law unto himself, right? So he will mete out whatever he thinks is right, so everybody who is weaker gets crushed. So Krishna says, of all these people I am punishment, because punishment means the topmost law, the topmost thing that you can do, you punish a person. There are many different kinds of punishment, right? And like a judge, you can sentence a person who murdered someone to death. But he does that, but he's not part of that. What do I mean? He implements the judgment. He says, okay, I sentence you to death. But he himself doesn't get any reaction. Nobody blames the judge, you know, say, oh, you know, he's the one, you know, he's the one who put me to death. No. He passes the law. So similarly, Krishna is the punishment, but nobody blames Krishna for that. You know, say, oh, Krishna did this to me. But some people, yes, now Kali Yuga, some people are saying, you know, oh, all these things that are happening to me is because of God. But they don't realize that all these things happening to them is because of their own karma, own activities that they are doing. Right? You do something, you always get a reaction. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Opposite means not you get I do bad, I get good, you know. Opposite means you do something wrong to someone, the reaction comes back to you. Exactly, you know, it's 10% will come back to you. So, depends what you do, how you do it. You do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad reaction. So like this, Krishna, why, okay, before we go there, murderer, why is he condemned to death? That actually is connected to the next verse, which is morality. This is like what we call a political morality. Political in the sense that if you put a person to death, why? So that he doesn't suffer his reaction in the next verse. Right? Because if I kill someone, and I am not put to death, I have to suffer in this life and in the next life. I will always have to suffer. But a person who is put to death, he has got no reaction. He is finished already. He is put to death. It is because it is untimely death. So So he's cleared of all the sinful reaction, and now he can get a new birth again, and he can start again. But if you don't put the person to death, then the person has to suffer for killing people, you know. So therefore, death is good. In that sense, for them, you don't have any reaction anymore. So Krishna also ordered Arjuna to fight, to punish all the other the Kauravas. Why? He wants to uphold justice. Administration of the justice he has to uphold. I mean, he had many opportunities to punish all of them, you know. Many opportunities, but he kept quiet. He waited for this Kurukshetra war, because then he can get at least all the sinful people, you know, together in one field, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and punish them in one go. He can do that. Krishna, Supreme Personality of God, he can wait, you know. He can wait 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years also he can wait, but he'll punish you. One day he'll punish you. Better that we get punishment early in this life than wait for next life. Otherwise, you know, we don't know what kind of punishment it will be. So, it's like a surgical operation. Here's an example also. A surgical operation is to save a person. Right? So if you hang someone, it is to save that person from his sinful activity. So a surgical operation, the doctor is going to cut the person. Does it mean the doctor is killing the person? No. Why he cut? To save the life. So that's why he's cutting. That kind of cut is different from another person wants to kill. Right? So if unless you are directed by Krishna himself, you're not supposed to go around killing and say, oh, Krishna said I must kill. That's, a lot of people are doing that in this world now. God said to kill. God said don't do this, I must kill you, so I will kill you. So that is wrong. When you say God said that, you must have several sources to confirm this. There is one is your sadhus. All the other sages and sadhus must say, yes, what you're doing is right. And the scriptures must say, yes, what you're doing is right. And of course, your guru must say, yes, what you're doing is right. If all three people say you're right, then you can go ahead and do it. Otherwise, you cannot carry out these killing activities. Right? So otherwise, this is reaction to yourself. The other thing is the conditioned soul, when you come into this material world, you are being punished actually. Krishna is punishing you, but not directly. He is punishing you through his external energy. The external energy is actually punishing you. You are in the prison house. We don't realize that. We are actually in the prison house, and the warden of this prison house is the Maya Shakti. External energy. She is actually putting us inside and giving us a lot of problems. But we don't care. We are thinking, oh yes, this is very nice. You know, just like if you put a frog in water, it will nicely swim, you know. But when you heat the water, it becomes hot, right? But the frog doesn't care, you know, it's warm. It gets used to it. And as you boil more and more, it gets hotter and hotter. Finally, the frog dies and is boiled and cooked already. And people can eat. So that's what, like a frog, we are foolish. We are in this material world, we are being boiled, but we don't realize that. We are thinking, oh, this is a nice place. Getting hotter, never mind. It's okay. I can tolerate all these troubles. Just for a short while. It's like a man, you know. In the olden times, the king will punish the man by pushing him underwater. Then, you know, after some time, he'll take him out. So when you put him underwater, what happens? He can't breathe, right? He'll be thrashing away, you know. He'll hold his breath until he can. After that, he cannot breathe anymore. He'll be. Then when he cannot breathe anymore, that time the servants of the king, the soldiers will take him out. Then he'll be breathing, you know, very fast. And for him, that is pleasure. I got breath. I got air. I can breathe. But again, the soldiers will push him down again. for a few more minutes and then bring him out. So we are like this also. We are thinking that we are actually enjoying ourselves, but actually we are suffering. We are thinking, oh, this is very nice, I am so happy, but actually we are suffering. We are like the fish out of water, no? Like Maharaj was saying, you know, the fish, you know, is out of water, but you can give him an aircon place, nice five-star hotel, nice silk bait and everything, but fish will say, no, give me back water, you know, I want to swim, I can breathe. Similarly, you know, we are like that. We have to be like that. We have to realize we don't have that. Now we are covered, you know, our mind, consciousness is covered. We are thinking we can breathe, but we are not breathing. We are actually suffocating. We are dying a slow death. We are not realizing that. So, Maya Devi is punishing us. We don't realize this. We have to realize this. Yeah? If you realize this, then only you can go back to Godhead. For a devotee, whenever there is punishment, he is happy. So, devotee feels that, you know, like Kunti Mata, you know, praying, Krishna, when you give us trouble, then I remember you. But most of us are like that. When we have trouble, then we go to Krishna. Oh God, oh whoever, whatever you call it, you know, say, oh please help me. I am in trouble. Please help me. I don't have enough money. Please help me. I am sick. Please help me. I am going to die. Please save my life. So many things like that. We are thinking like this. Yeah? So we are always thinking like that. But a devotee is not like that. Devotee feels, oh, this punishment I am getting now, it's actually nothing. By right, I'm supposed to get more, but because Krishna is so kind, he has given me so little. We must use this to remember Krishna. Any trouble that comes, because this material is like that, no, it's always troublesome. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said, this place, this material world, is not fit for a gentleman. A gentleman, you don't live here, but we all are gentlemen, you know. We are foolishness. We don't realize. We don't belong here. We don't have that faith. We don't have that urge. We don't have that desire to go back to Godhead. That's why we are still here. Birth after birth, we are still here. No matter how many punishments, 8,400,000 times of species of life we have taken birth. And every species of life, we have been punished. And yet, we come back again because we love this place. Have it. I love it. I love it. This place is such a nice place. Cozy, you know. Nice and warm. And you know, just, the temperature is just nice. Not too hot, not too cold. Not too much water, not too much rain. Like, we are very happy. So therefore we keep on coming back. We shouldn't. We should have that urge. That's why when we chant, when we associate, when we read, we actually don't have faith. That's why we don't have the taste. If you have the faith, you will have the taste. Don't have the faith. We think we have the faith. Yes, I have. But actually not. Because then you'll be chanting so nicely. You won't give up chanting. You won't give up associating. Every day you will be chanting, every day you will be reading, every day you will be associating. You will give up everything and do this. But we are not. So we have to consider this, huh? Remember this. We are not actually very faithful to the holy name. We are not. We have to be. So devotee thinks punishment as a mercy. Even when this Daksha, you know, he was, you know, he made so much trouble for Lord Shiva, you know, so much trouble. He said, get out, you're a person associating with ghostly people, ghosts and all the and goblins and all that. You know, don't come to the five sacrifice, you know. he didn't invite son-in-law. And now later, you know, because he insulted, Lord Shiva cursed him and cut off his head, you know, and later gave a head of his bull, you know. Yeah? Hey, cow, yes. Cow? Goat, sorry. Yeah, but Daksha was, he realized his mistake, you know. Then he said, Oh yes. You are so merciful to me. He prayed to Lord Shiva. Finally he realized. He had to take off his head to realize that. He had to take off his head to realize that he was wrong. And all the other the devotees were telling that, you know, to him to be a Vaishnava, but you know, he's puffed up. The Prajapati, you know, very puffed up, he said, I'm so powerful, you know. We don't have that opportunity, you know. We don't have someone to cut off our head and then put replace the head in the same life and say, oh yeah, I did something wrong, and now I will go to Krishna. No. We are not that fortunate. We are not fortunate. We are very unfortunate people. You know, Kali Yuga, we are all very unfortunate. Because we are unfortunate, we have to take the dust of the Vaishnava. So Prabhupada is there, you know, he came to give us Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. All the Vaishnavas, you know, they are so merciful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came because he wants to be merciful. But these people are so foolish. One saving grace for Kali Yuga for us is to chant the holy name. Very easy. Even initiated or not initiated, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just say, just saying the word Ra, Ma, Ha, Re, Krishna. You are saved. All your simple activities is gone. So much. Countless number is gone. You know? Even Namabash, that means chanting the holy name even in wrongly, you know. Now, the Muslim will say haram. Not, it's a dirty thing, you shouldn't touch this or you shouldn't be using or you know, shouldn't. Haram. Haram, Ram. You keep on saying haram, 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 ram, 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 you keep on ram. You also saved. So Krishna's name is infested, infused with all power. No matter what religion you are, what language you speak, if you say ha, ra, Krishna, you are saved. So much, Krishna is so kind to us. We must take that opportunity to chant this holy name. You know, you can even say ha, something else, ra, you also say. Ra, something else, ma, you also say. It doesn't matter. But if you know the holy name nicely, you can chant it nicely, see the effect. Not only you get moksha, beyond that, you get love of God. That is the effect of chanting the holy name faithfully. Yeah? Not just chanting, but avoiding the 10 offenses. Right? Maharaj spoke about that last week. You know, we must avoid. The main is Vaishnava Apara. You know, that Apara, that's very difficult to go away, you know. Very difficult to overcome. Seva apara is okay, you know, you can be forgiven, you know. Seva apara, service. In service you do some apara, it's okay, maybe. Probably someone, okay, never mind, you know, just, you know, because a lot of you are doing deity worship, but doing it wrong. You all don't realize that. Even if you realize it, say, never mind, just carry on doing it. Never mind. Krishna is so kind, say never mind. Seva apara. What's important, you should change. Once you know you're doing wrong, you should change. But of course, but Vaishnava Parat, no. Prabhupada describes it as a mad elephant problem, you know. It's like, you know, two elephants fighting, yeah. If you are an ant caught between that, you got no survival. You cannot survive. You're gone. You're trampled. It's like the creeper of devotional service is trying to grow from seed. You are the seed, no? The seed is planted there, your Guru Maharaj plant the seed and pour water on it. Then the bhakti grows. That is called the creeper of love, of bhakti. Bhakti lata beach. Yeah, it grows. Now this is growing nicely with the water and sunlight and, you know, tilling of the soil and fertilizers and all that stuff, but when the elephants come, they trample. the plant is gone. No way our seed will survive. So the similarly, Vaishnava Apara, if you commit Vaishnava Apara, you are gone, finished. Probably next birth, maybe not. Who knows? So that is very important. You remember, no Vaishnava Apara, you cannot commit anything. No matter who it is, even the person is trying to be funny or saying wrong things, move away. Maybe you did something wrong, you know. Look at yourself first. And we always at fault. Take two hands to clap, you know. Always take two hands. One hand cannot clap. No sound. Two hands, got sound. So, no matter how much the person says bad about you, you must have instigated something. Even if you are, maybe you are a good person, that's why, you know, so you can forgive, just ask the person, sorry, I'm so nice to everybody, you know, so forgive me. You have to be humble. Trina Rapi Sunichena. You have to be humble. Right? If you are not Trina Rapi Sunichena, how you want to get Krishna fame? How you want to change? Cannot change. That's another reason why we can't change. Because when we change, we are always thinking, oh, this person did that, that person did this. No respect, I came in this church, no, nobody say Hare Krishna to me. What is this? So I get insulted. So I get angry with everybody. Vaishnava Apara. Just by thinking also is Vaishnava Apara. You know, get very careful. Not just doing, huh? Thinking already your heart, you are sowing the all the poison, toxic substances into the soil. Where you got the chance for the flower to grow? The plant cannot grow. You already started. Nobody else did anything to you, huh? You did it yourself. You are the gardener. If you are the gardener, you must take care of your plant, right? Who else can take care of the plant except you? You don't take care, nobody can take care. You put fertilizer, you water and sun, the plant will grow. You put poison, plant will die. Simple. This we don't realize. Because we are always thinking we are right. I am always right. How can I be wrong? I am always right. Nobody else is wrong. I am right. Therefore, everybody is wrong. Therefore, what I do is right and carry on doing it. Vaishnava Apara. Very careful. If you are not sure, ask. Ask other Vaishnavas, you know, hey, Haribol, please help me, I got this problem, if I'm doing right or wrong. What am I doing? We have to find out. We cannot be in an ivory tower inside, you know, hiding and say, so I'm protected from everybody. No! You need associate, you need to come out from the tower, associate with everybody and talk to everybody and say where you're going wrong. We'll come to that in Maunam. Why you should talk and what you should talk. Silence, yeah? The next verse is morality. We are not concerned about material morality. Huh? What is the material morality? Of course, you know, we have to be concerned a little bit. Krishna conscious people have to be concerned. We have to follow honesty, goodness, all this. And morality. What are the things that we need to do to be moral, morally upright, materially? Maharaj said last week, meat eating. No meat eating, no fish, no eggs. Right? Yeah, always for that. Because some people say, you know, why Maharaj insisted that? Right? Oh, Maharaj only said meat. He didn't say fish, he didn't say egg. I can take. So we have to be careful. This Kali Yuga, no? Next time they'll say, no meat, he didn't say, I can't take beef, I can take mutton. People, Kali Yuga is going to change, you know, you don't laugh. Things the people going to cut the thing and say, oh, you never specifically told me this one. Right? And no intoxicants, including coffee and tea. Ah, you never mentioned it, forget it. Huh? So remember that. Huh? And of course, no illicit sex. Sex doesn't mean married, oh, I can have sex. That license, yeah, I got married on it. No. Even in marriage, you cannot have illicit sex. you must make sure that even in marriage, you must have sex with your wife or husband only to progenit a son or a daughter, a child. That's why you have marriage, to have Krishna conscious children. That's why Prabhupada says, before you have a child, chant 50 rounds. 50 rounds. Can you imagine? That means you take the whole day, you know, to chant. That means why? Your consciousness becomes Krishna consciousness. Then when you have a child, the child is Krishna conscious. Otherwise, you know, you have Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha. That's what happened. I'm not joking, because that's what happened. Right? Dipti went to her husband, said, please have a child now. Now, now! Bang the table. He said, no, wait. Wait for a while. She said, no. Now. So he gave in to her. That's the inauspicious time. After that she regretted. He said, what to do? I can't do anything, you know. You wanted a child, I have given you. But yet, what child you have is twin, Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha. They will be a menace to society. And they will finally be killed by Krishna. And Diti was happy because they will be killed by Krishna. That's a saving grace. We don't have that saving grace. No? We are not that bad. We are not that good. We are somewhere between. You want to be bad? Be very, very bad. Try your best to be the worst. Then maybe Krishna will come. Otherwise, very difficult. But very difficult to become the worst person also. Because this world is full of worst people. Very difficult. So, and of course the fourth thing is no gambling. Right? No gambling. If we don't do all these four things, Prabhupada said we are morally upright. Materially, morally upright. So we have to have this. We are so Krishna conscious, Hare Krishna people who are chanting their rounds, follow these four regulative principles, are morally upright. So we have that, but do we need that? We want to go beyond that. We want to go to spiritual morality, not material. Everybody can do that. A guy doesn't have to be chanting, he can follow all the four regulative principles, right? Still materially, you know, he's moral, the moral person, the good person. But, is he Krishna conscious? It's not, right? So you need to be Krishna conscious, you need to add that Krishna consciousness into morality, then it becomes transcendental morality. This transcendental morality was exhibited by Lord Krishna. In his instructions to Arjuna, he told him, no, please don't fight. Kill all these people. Of course, if you look at it in a mundane way, he says, oh, it is wrong, and I don't kill his own relatives, grandfathers, uncles, and brothers, and all that, you know, that's wrong. But if you look at it on the spiritual point of view, whatever Krishna says is morally superior. The other thing is, of course, gopi. Krishna's behavior with the gopi. You know, he stole their clothes when they were bathing. In the middle of the night, he would play the flute and all the gopis will, you know, throw down whatever they were doing. The child, the cooking, the looking after the husband, the looking after the child, whatever it is. They just threw everything and run to the forest of Vrindavan to see Krishna. Right? It is not immoral, but he is God. Alright? Then King Kulashekara in Mukunda Mala Sutra said, I have no attraction for performing religious rituals, holding any earthly kingdom. I do not care for some enjoyment or for sense enjoyment. Let them appear and disappear in accordance with my previous deeds. My only desire is to be fixed in devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord, even though I may continue to take birth here life after life. Look at King Kulashekara. He is saying that he will take birth here again and again, but he wants to be at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And he doesn't care for all these enjoyments that come and go. He doesn't care because he wants to serve Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why do we say this? Why is it moral? Remember this, huh? All activities that are spiritual are all good. All activities that are material are all bad. As it sunk in, all activities that are spiritual are all good. All activities that are material are all bad. This is the difference. The so-called morality, goodness of this material world is all bad. Some people will object. But in the spiritual world, so-called immorality is all good. In the spiritual world, immorality is all good. Does it make sense? Cannot understand. You see here, this we have to understand because, okay, to dance with other people's wife in the middle of the night is immoral. Is it agreeable? Everybody agrees that, right? But this, according to Vedic civilization, this is immoral. Even today in India, at least in some places, young women will not be allowed to go out alone to meet someone, a man, in the middle of the night to dance, right? I mean, now it's changing, you know, India is changing. What to do, you know? But still there are some pockets of places where people follow morality. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that the deeds done by Krishna and the damsels of Raja running and dancing with Krishna is the highest morality. Why? Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu says, Ramya Kachi Upasana Vraja Vadu Vargena Ya Kalpita. There's no better mode of worship than that conceived by the gopis of Vraja. What is this conception? They wanted to love Krishna at any risk. And this is never immoral. Because to please Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can do anything and everything, and that is not immoral. Therefore, whatever happens in the spiritual world, even if it seems to be immoral, it is all good. Only in the material world, immorality, you know, is all bad. Even if you do bad, even if you do good, it's still bad. Because you are in a material world. You think it's good. This is material goodness. We haven't come to the spiritual goodness. Right? We have to come to the pure goodness. We are only being good. Oh, I'm a good person. I don't eat meat. I don't gamble. I don't, you know, have a girlfriend. I don't drink. I'm good. That is good for what? I think. You probably get birth in the heavenly planet. And that is good for that. But it's not good for Krishna. Krishna is not looking for material goodness. He's making sure that you become pure. Pure goodness is required from you. You know, when you go back to Godhead, on the way, the planet, you'll pass many, many planets. One of the planets that you pass before you go to Vaikuntha is the planet of the fire god. And you pass through that, your body is burnt and cleared of all other, whatever sinful activities there, and you go back to Godhead. That is how pure you must be to go back to God. You have to be pakka and a really good one. Even gold, they will melt it down to remove impurities. Then you get pure gold. The gold that we are wearing, it's impure. Why? Pure gold is too soft. to wear. That's why they call 18 karat gold, 22 karat. Nobody says 100% gold. Wear. Anybody wearing? No, cannot wear. Not possible to wear. You must add impurities. Now, impure gold is not really right, not very good. So in order to get pure gold, what you do? You heat it. As you heat it, the impurities come out, then you take gold. And when it's cooled down, it's very soft. Anybody seen pure gold now? No. I've dealt with gold. We melt gold during our course. You know, dental, you know, we have to do all this gold peeling. We have to melt. We put pure gold in people's teeth, you know. How soft it is. You pack it. Only pure gold you can do that. Soft. Right? So we have to be clean. Krishna wants us to be pure before he can take us. Because you can't go in a dirty clothes. Into, you know, you go and visit the Prime Minister or President, you know, they invite you for some function. What will you do? Straight away you go out, go and buy the best new clothes. Right? You go to the hairdresser, make sure your hair is nice. Go to the, you know, facial, make sure everything, buy nice dress, buy nice shoes and everything. And then you present yourself nicely in front of the President. Thank you for the honor, it's just for the few minutes. But, so Krishna also needs this. Krishna wants this. Krishna demands this. You must be pure before you can come and see me. Everybody say, oh, I cannot see God. You show me God. Hello, excuse me, are you pure? Purify yourself before you can put up your hand and say, show me God. If you don't purify yourself and you demand, who are you? Nothing. Right? Who are we? The example is the same. Can we just go up and say, I want to see the President of Singapore? No, you can't. No invitation, right? You must do something good, something that the society recognizes. Then the President will hear about it and then you say, okay, invite this person. Similarly, you must do some seva, some devotional service. Then, through the agency of the Guru and the Vaishnavas, Krishna will hear about it. Then Krishna will say, okay, send for this boy. Send for this person. And let him come back to Godhead. Then that's what we have to do. That's why we have to please all the Vaishnavas. Then only he can go back. Otherwise he cannot go back to Godhead. Not possible. Right? See, another example of immorality. Lord Narasimha killed Hiranyakasipu, the father of Prahlad Maharaj. You all know the story. So what was Prahlad Maharaj doing? He was nearby standing, quietly, watching Narasimha dead. You know, Lord Narasimha killing his father. Is this moral? Normally, if you see your father being killed or attacked or something, you protest. You shout, you call for help, right? And you can't be keeping quiet, right? You can't be saying, oh, yes, yes, carry on. I don't like this fellow. You've given me hell the whole life. You protest, right? You say, yes, stop it. Or call the police or do something. You have to do it. But Prahlad Maharaj was keeping quiet. In fact, what did he do? After he killed his father, Prahlad Maharaj made a garland and put a garland on him and Lord Narasimha and said, thank you very much. Scratch our heads, right? What is that? The morality, you know? There's no morality here. So, what did he say? Oh my Lord, you killed my father. Please take this garland, you're very good. So, this must be understood to be spiritual, not material morality. Spiritual morality. Why? Hiranyakashipu was devastating. He was killing all the devotees. He didn't allow any good to be done. No yajna, no preaching, nothing about Krishna can be said. Everything is him. He is the Supreme Personality of God. He claimed himself to be God. So in order to establish Krishna's supreme position, the Lord killed him. And Prahlad Maharaj, being a devotee, knew that this is the higher principle. Therefore, this is spiritually moral. Materially, of course, you know, it's not moral. But of course, you must see whether, you know, your father didn't kill was, you know, a nice person, you know, who is stopping it or not allowing it to help the world. So it's like, the reason given the Shastra is like, you know, it is not wrong to kill a scorpion or a snake. In the Shastra it's stated, it's not wrong. Yeah, every living entity cannot be killed. But Vaishnavas or devotees will keep quiet when a snake or a scorpion is killed. Why? Because they are full of enviousness. In fact, by killing them, you are helping them to get a better person. They can go up the chain. You know, after the snake and all that, probably another animal form, another get a form as a human being. So you're helping. Because these people are very envious. So Hiranyakashipu was very envious of Krishna. So he had to put a stop to that. And Prahlada Maharaj said, this is right. This is correct. Killing an envious person is okay. So that he will not further trouble the devotees. So what Prahlada Maharaj did was the highest morality. Now we come to silence. Maunam. Of secret things I am silent. The secret activity is hearing, chanting, meditating, reading. This is secret. Why is it secret? Because this knowledge, Krishna says in the preliminaries, is secret. This is a secret. Because not everybody can appreciate this. Not everybody can appreciate Krishna consciousness. So, this secret activity can be performed if you are silent. Not mauna vrat, you know. Not taking mauna vrat. A lot of Indian people say, no, I am doing today mauna vrat. I will not talk to anybody. But they do all kinds of nonsense things. That is not mauna vrat. The vow of maunam, silence, means to think of Krishna. You use the silence to think and do activities pertaining to Krishna. Not that you keep quiet and do nonsense when you are keeping quiet. On the other hand, you cannot be talking so much nonsensical things also. That is also means silence. Silence means you don't talk nonsense. Prajalpa. We use our time to speak nonsensical things to everybody else. Right? We don't go around and, you know, talking to every Hari Bol Prabhu, you know, how is the chanting, you know, how can I improve my chanting, how is your devotional life, how can I help, how can I serve, how can I do. That is Krishna consciousness. Or you talk about Krishna Katha. Oh, Krishna did this, Krishna did that, his devotees did that, his devotees did this. This is Krishna Katha. Instead of that, we say, how is the weather, how is your work, how is your journey, you know. Hari Bol. Necessary, because time is wasted. How much time we use for Krishna, that much time is in your bank account. Right? How much time you spend for Maya, that is also in your bank account. But that bank account doesn't stay for long. Krishna conscious activities is forever. Material activity is for this life, that's it. And it's gone. Whatever we do in this life is that's it. Well, why do you want to engage in material activities? Prabhupada is kind to give us a society and at least in the way we do things. Very pakka he has done everything nicely. What you do, how you associate, what you do, how do you read, how do you chant, what do you follow. Everything Prabhupada has given. We should just simply do what Prabhupada has given. Easy for us. Because we are very foolish people, you know. We think we know, but actually we are foolish. We don't know what to do. If we had known what to do, then we don't need Prabhupada, you know. But no one thought of this one. Anybody thought of that? No. Even Prabhupada's God brothers didn't think of all this. Only Prabhupada thought, and he gave everything in sequence to for us to become Krishna conscious. Very important. So be careful. Otherwise you got problem, you know. Just like Bharat Maharaj. King Bharat, he was a Krishna conscious, but he didn't observe silence. He went after a deer, to look after a deer. And he fell down and he became a deer. Next life, because he associated with devotees, he became a devotee again, Jada Bharat. But this time, he was smart. He kept quiet. Everybody thought he was a fool. Everybody thought he is, you know, like an idiot, an imbecile. He never talked to anybody, nothing. But internally, he was meditating on Krishna all the time. He's very intelligent. But because how do you know a person is intelligent? When he opens his mouth, right? So Jada Bharat spoke to King Raghunath. So like that, Jada Bharat, when he opened his mouth, he knows he was a Krishna conscious person. Similarly, when a person opens his mouth, if he's a fool, you know he's a fool. So in either way, we should keep quiet. Because you don't want to be known as a fool. Right? We have to be careful. Unless you can speak Krishna conscious, Krishna katha, don't open the mouth. Use the silence to think of Krishna, so somehow or other Krishna will reciprocate your Krishna consciousness activities, you reciprocate. Finally is the wisdom. Here, Krishna says, of the wise and the wisdom. So, who is this wise person? The wise person has spiritual knowledge. He has the knowledge of sambandha. Sambandha means relationship with God. What is my relationship with God? Sambandham. In Tamil, it is sambandham. So, what is this sambandha? What is this relationship? Who am I? Who is God? What is my relationship? We have to know this. Our relationship is, we are the Jivatma. Krishna, God is Paramatma. The relationship is, He is God, I am the servant of God. And that is my relationship. I must know this first. Because if I don't know this, how am I going to have a relationship with that person? Right? Right? Very difficult. You can't have a relationship with a person if you don't know who the position, what kind of relationship you want to have. You can have a relationship with a friend, or mother and daughter, son and father, boss and a servant, different relationships. So you must know with God what kind of relationship I want to have. So there are many types of relationship with God. And you have to act according to that relationship. That relationship can be a friendly relationship, can be in a vatsalya mood, that means parental mood, can be in the conjugal mood. Yeah? It can be in any mood, but we must realize that mood first and have that relationship. The relationship that we act, that is called abhideya. Right? Abhideya is the kind of relationship that we are going to have, the activity. What does the abhideya lead to? Prayojana. The ultimate goal of life. Prayojana means the goal of life. What is the goal of life? Goal of life is love of Godhead. To have love of Godhead. It's very simple. The means and the end is the same. You chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is abhideya. And you get Prayojana, which is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Again, the goal, the means and the goal is the same. Right now, like I said earlier, we don't have faith. Because we don't have faith, we chant mechanically. chant mechanically is not going to infuse love of Godhead. So we must chant like the child crying for the mother. When a child is hungry or it misses its mother, you know, oh, where's my mother? Hey, mother is missing. Sometimes you go to the shopping center, you see a child that is lost, you know. What is the child doing? Is he running around? No. He's crying his heart out. Because he wants his mother. Anybody, any other lady comes and says, I'm your mother, the child is not going to accept. You know, say, no, I don't want you. I want my mother. And he will cry. Similarly, to get Krishna, we must cry like this to Krishna. Then Krishna, because who Krishna? We want only Krishna, right? We are not going to cry a little bit, oh, somebody give me some sweet, I say, I'm so happy, I stop crying. No, we cannot stop crying. That is my point. We cannot stop crying any minute of our life. Our life, we have to cry for Krishna every second. Keep on crying for Krishna. Krishna will finally come. Finally, say, oh yeah, Haribol, Prabhu, you are here. You have been missing for so many days. Krishna will tell you. But we have to cry to Krishna to help, to ask him to help us. Then only he will help. Otherwise, very difficult. You don't cry, why the mother will look for you, no? Right? Mother will say, oh, the child is not crying, not hungry, forget it. Free for a few moments. Just an example, you know. It's not that the mother will neglect. No matter what happens, the mother is always thinking of the child. Just like Krishna is always thinking of us. We don't realize this, you know. We don't think of Krishna. Krishna is always thinking of us. The child will only think of the mother when it's lost, or when it's hungry, or when it wants something from the mother. Otherwise, when the father is grown up to a teenager or adult, will say, mother, bye-bye. I'm going off. I got a girlfriend now. Thank you for all the things, you know, but I have to do my own thing now. That is happening in this world. All of you are witnesses. You can see. So we have to cry like a child to Krishna, so that Krishna can hear our crying. And then you'll come and help us. Okay, take us back to Godhead. That is what we want. That is our wisdom. Yeah? That is the wisdom. And that wisdom is Krishna. So we have to be wise to get wisdom. The wisdom is Krishna. Krishna will give you the knowledge. Within and without. Within as the Paramatma, without as the spiritual master. He will. He is so kind. He will do it. But whether we are eager to accept that, we are not eager, so we won't see that. We are not eager, so we won't see it. You know, very difficult to appreciate that. Yeah? So we have finished our work, and one more point today is Srinivas Thakur's disappearance. I just say a few words. So Srinivas Pandit is the fifth member of the Panchatattva. Before we chant, we say Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudev Gaur Bhaktavinda. The five of them, Panchatattva. The fifth Panchatattva is Srivas Thakur. He represents the marginal energy, Satashta Shakti. The marginal, Jivatma, all of us, he represents us. He's actually Narada Muni. He took birth to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today is his disappearance day, therefore we have to remember him. Because so many activities happened in his house. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born about 200 yards from Srivas Thakur's house. If you go to Mayapur, you can see the place, Srivas Thakur's house. It's called Srivas Angam. A very nice place. Beautiful place. You go there, you will want to chant also. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed many miracles in his house. Beautiful place, very nice. If you go there, you will get Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Shiva's Pandit. Yeah? So we shall stop there. It's 8 o'clock. And ask Is there any questions or comments or any corrections? I will send corrections. You want to take this? Yes,
Prabhu. You just mentioned about snake and scorpion. What about the other beings and things that are like most of all the cockroaches, some kinds of cockroaches, and even antibiotics that you take? Are we allowed to take other things?
Yeah.
One thing that most often comes in mind is that we avoid being ants and all that, but we see that our offices and the house are full of ants and there is no other way but to kill them. So how does that principle of non-violence come into consideration?
First principle of devotee is non-violence. But scripture says only these two. Snake and scorpion, they are very envious, full of envy. That's why they are full of poison. Enviousness means poison. No, earlier on I told you that poison, right? So poison can be within your heart. You also can be envious. Poison can be also within, is produced by that person. In this case, a living entity called snake or scorpion. It produces that enviousness in the form of poison. So it kills people. So you can. Maybe you should avoid. First of all, if you see a snake, don't run out of pain and say, kill, 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 you know. I mean, the snake is going by, if it's doing its own work, let it do its own work, you know. If the scorpion is going by, let it do its own work. But if the scorpion is going to come and bite you or do something to you, then you have a right to defend yourself. You understand? You can defend yourself. That is not, Shastra don't say you cannot defend yourself. You have to defend yourself. Reason being, this human form of life is important to use it for Krishna consciousness, to God realization. We need this body. Therefore, if you are sick, you are allowed to take medication to get better so that you use the life to become Krishna conscious. You understand? This is important. Yeah, they are also hungry. You see, ants and cockroaches come to your house because your house is dirty. You leave things behind. You never actually clean the place. You put a little grain of sweets there or sugar, what happens? Ants will come. I mean, I don't blame the ants, you know. The nature of the ants is to find sugar. Right? Scavenge, you know, they want something to eat. You don't deny that. Prabhupada said in his life, his father ran a shop, a cloth shop. They have a lot of rats coming in and eating up the clothes. So what did Prabhupada's father do? Prabhupada's father left a bowl of food outside so that the rats will eat the food and not his clothes. You can't stop animals from doing what is their nature. But we must take care. You can't leave things lying around. Make sure after eating it's clean, serving prasadam, whatever food you put, make sure it's in a tight container, everything is clean. You won't have ants coming, you won't have cockroaches coming, a lot of things won't. No, you see, if the rat is full, it's not going to come after your clothes. You're going to give it sufficient food, right? But again, you must take care of it. I'm not saying that you're going to put a cloth in front and the rat and put a food in front, you know, the rat will say, okay, I've eaten this and now I eat the cloth. I mean, of course, we are intelligent beings, right? Human beings have another sense, higher sense, right? We can discriminate what is right and what is wrong. So you must use your intelligence and say, okay, I put the cloth or whatever in a nice box and lock it up so the rat don't go inside and destroy this thing. Right? We also must take care of it. We cannot just be carefree. we haven't come to the stage of pure devotees, you know, like Tukaram, you know, he gave up everything. He ran business, he gave away things, you know. His mother, father, mother-in-law, everybody put a shop and say, okay, Tukaram, you have a wife to support, run the business. What did he do? He gave away things free. He's not attached to anything. We haven't come to that platform yet, Prabhu. So we have to come to that platform. So in the meanwhile, we take care of our bodies, take medication, what to do, killing animals, killing the bacteria, virus and all that stuff. What do? You're chanting, right? Minimum of 16 rounds, right? Why are we chanting? Because we want to clear the effects of the sinful activities that we are doing every day. Eating food is sinful, Prabhu, you are killing the plants. What do you say? Right? But why we eat? To sustain ourselves. Why we want to sustain ourselves? So that we can become Krishna conscious. Right? It is the reason. But again, to come out from the sin of killing plants, we offer the food to Krishna. As he says, we offer bhoga to Krishna, we take prasadam. We don't offer prasadam, okay? And we don't eat prasadam. We honor prasadam. That's why we are trying to purify ourselves, our existence. Do you understand? This is the reason. One more question? There's a reason why they ants. There must be a reason. Ants don't just come. No, no, no. Why you should kill them? They didn't disturb you. Why they want to bite you? Are you very sweet, I think? You must be a sweet person. There's a reason, Prabhu. See, there are two types of ants. One is a black ant, the other one is a termite. Termites come because they are wood. They take wood. Okay? So you must see, is the wood well protected? So you must see whether the wood is well treated or not. Maybe your office, the wood is not well treated. There's a lot of reasons, you know. We must find out the reason and find a source of why the things are happening. Then we can come to a conclusion as to how to do that, okay? So you have to see how you want to work with it.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Prabhu, there's a thought to what you just said, but that's not my question actually. I remember Buddha used to send all the ants, you know, when he was walking his path and all that. So maybe you can do something like this. Anyway, my question is, nothing to do very much on devotion, but it's just getting to me right now, out of curiosity. You said something about, at the beginning of your lecture, you said that if a murderer, he gets his death from punishment, so he deters away from the ultimate punishment, from the spiritual world. So does this mean that Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad, and all the spiritual books by Krishna himself actually support capital punishment in this world?
Yes. Yes, capital punishment is supported in the scriptures. If you take the guru's wife, if you burn someone in the house, if you steal from them, if you murder somebody, all this is punishable by death. It's in the scripture. Yes. No, this is premature, that's why. Because it's premature, your sinful activities are clear. And therefore you get a chance to take birth again, free from sins. That means you can take another birth again, maybe from the lowest rung of animal, plant.
You can die earlier than what is wanted for you.
Yes, if you're punished by the king or the state. Not if, is it? It doesn't mean you commit suicide with this premature death. No. If you commit suicide prematurely, it doesn't mean you're cleared from sin. In fact, you incur more sins. Premature death like that, because you took the body Krishna gave you away from yourself, Krishna doesn't give you a body in the next life. He gives you a ghostly body. In a ghostly body, you can't talk, can't do anything. Run around, you know, hoping some devotee will offer pindar, you know, to the departed soul. And then when they accept that, then they are released from the ghostly body. Yeah. Any more questions or comments? If there's no more questions or comments, we shall end here and thank all of you for attending this discourse. We shall now have a short kirtan and then prasadam. Jai Ganga Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.
Jai Hind 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 Jai H